Let's begin to praise his name in this house. Come on, let's begin to magnify the name of Jesus. Come on, would you lift your voice and give him all praise and all honor? Oh, bless the Lord, he endureth. You do that right now. Come on, bless the Lord. Come on, bless the Lord in this house. Hallelujah. Oh, victory in the house. Victory in the house. Well, I'm going in to possess the land. Your hands
victory
together.
In the house.
I'm going in.
Going in to possess the land.
Victory.
Victory in the house.
Oh, victory in the house.
Victory in the house.
Well, I'm going. bless the land. Peace in the house.
Deliver us.
Deliver us in the house. Deliver us in the house. I'm going in to possess the land.
Deliver us in the house.
Jesus is
in the house.
I'm so glad
Jesus is in the house. Well, I'm going in to possess the land.
Jesus. Oh, we worship you, Jesus. Lord, you are good.
Lord, you are good and your mercy endures forever.
Because the Lord is good. Let's give him praise in the house. Come on, because the Lord is good. Let's give him glory. Oh, anybody want to praise him for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men? Oh, we love you. Bless the Lord, oh my soul and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. Clap your hands and give God glory in the house tonight. Amen. Praise God. Before you're seated, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Amen. Remember Sister Tani, she has been sick for several services. Remember her in prayer. Remember the sons of the prophets. Praise God. That is our prophets. They're not feeling well tonight. Also remember my sister in prayer. She's had some emergency stuff happening, so keep her in prayer. If you know somebody who needs a touch in their body, just call their name out right now. Savior, we love you. We thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your grace. We ask you, Lord, that you would touch every heart, every mind, every soul. Touch those that are sick among us, dear God. Touch those, God, that are connected to the church family. God, we know you're a healer. We know you're a provider. It's by your stripes we're healed tonight. We'll give you praise and glory and honor in advance. So I feel the Holy Ghost. God, touch them, Lord, tonight. Bless them, Jesus. Help them, Lord. Oh, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, God bless you. You can be seated, asking our ushers if they would prepare to receive the Wednesday night tithe and offering. Amen. Thank you for your continued support to the kingdom of God, the work of God, to the city of Nampa. That support is going to have to be faithful and steadfast. Met with the bank last night and for almost 3-hour meeting. And they are going to pursue, we'll talk more about it later, but they're going to pursue the numbers and get us all that we need to get the job done. And but it's not what we thought it was going to be. It's all good. We can do it. It's just going to be faithful, faithful. Amen. Make time for personal daily devotion. Pray every day. Read your Bible every day. Fast as often as you can. Reach out to as many people as you can. And invite them to church. There has been a few requests for a small Easter service at the new property Sunday morning. And so for those of you that would like to do that, want to do that, we're going to be meeting over there for prayer and praise at 10 a.m. I was going to do a sunrise service, but seeing how early the sun comes up, let's call it 10. The Lord's already risen, so we don't have to worry about that one. But anyway, so if you want to come by and do that, you're more than welcome. And just wear casual clothes and shoes because it will be dirty at least, and hopefully not muddy. Amen. House should be called the house of prayer. Make sure you're inviting folks to the house of God. Let's be faithful in all areas of the church. Let's stand together and pray for the offering. Savior, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. God, you are so worthy to be praised tonight. God, you're good and you're good all the time. We ask you, Lord, to bless the gift and the giver. Do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing and worship as the ushers come.
Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship in one accord. Every praise is to our God. Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship in one accord. Every praise is to our God.
every praise go out right now. Let's every praise go out right now. Come on, every praise right now, all over this house. Come on, is it God your Savior? Come on, is it God your Redeemer? Oh, we love you, Jesus. Oh, my God, I feel the Holy Ghost in this house tonight. I feel the joy of the Lord in this house tonight. We love you, Jesus. We glorify you, my King. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. Before we get into this, you kind of stay there for a few moments. Praise God. I want to welcome everybody to Happy Atheist Day. Happy Atheist Day. The Bible says in Psalm 14:1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So April Fool's is Atheist Day. But there is a place worse than a fool. The Bible tells us Proverbs 26 and 12, seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There is more hope of a fool than for him. Proverbs 29, 20, see thou a man hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than of him. I don't want to be a fool. I don't want to be conceited. I don't want to be hasty in my decisions and my moves. I don't want to think I'm the smartest person. If I'm the smartest person in the room, I'm in the wrong room or I'm by myself. And in that case, I'm the smartest man and the dumbest man in the same room. And so I don't want to be that. And so we're trying to handle everything with the church right, properly, and trying to keep it as, you know, you just can't be cheap and do something for God. You just can't be cheap and do something for God. We originally started a loan of about $350,000, which was what our loan was in the old building. And we got that paid down, borrowed some money against it, kept some of that cash for several years. I think it was, well, we remodeled the sanctuary in 2020. And we kept some of that cash for $40,000 of it for at least 4 years. And ended up using a lot of it, if not all of it, on this project and getting things started. And we knew the loan was going to have to go up some more. We were hoping about $500,000. It did. It went to $500,000 and then $600,000 and $700,000. And it's going to be around $900,000 when it's all said and done. So our mortgage is going to be anywhere between $5,600 and $6,500, guessing. But you know what? I know a church that was paying rent in Seattle, $9,000 a month for a 1,000-square-foot building, a new home missions church. So if God can bless them and help them, see, this is what I know. This is what I know. I know that's already in this house right now, and that's with no growth. God is able to do it because I know for a fact that several of the men that have been helping, several of the families that have been working have got raises and promotions and jobs. And people in the church have got raises and promotions. God, how are we going to do it? God says, I got you covered. Well, send a check. No, I'm just going to give you promotions. I'm going to give you raises. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless them that bless you, and I'm going to do all that for you. And so we're excited about what God is doing. I walked away from that meeting last night, not very far because it was at my house. But I walked away from that table, and I felt a whole lot better. You know, originally they said there's about a $200,000 gap that we don't want to put the church in a bind. I go, well, not giving all of the money puts us more in a bind. Who does that prosper? Who does that help? Who does that benefit? And so after seeing what we do and how we give and how faithful this church is, she decided it was a good idea to go in and pursue all of the loan and get the job done. And so you've seen the picture of the building, you know, the AI of the building with the steeple and all of that. Well, we've decided not to do the steeple, not because we're afraid of the LDS church. but because the steeple is going to cost about $8,000, and if we can't afford to buy a new pulpit, we don't need a new steeple. And so, but I'm going to give you a glimpse tonight of our future, of the entire project when it's done. So the small building on the right is what we're doing now. The building on the middle, in the middle will be our fellowship hall, kitchen, evangelist quarters, whatever else that may be. Then the one on the right, and this is not perfectly to scale because AI is not that smart. It's artificial intelligence. Just acts like intelligence. But the one on the far left will be an 80-foot wide building by 100. And when we get all said and done, we'll have over 20,000 square feet of building on 2.5 acres. And to God be the glory. This is the vision. This is what we're going for. This is what we're going to do if the Lord tarries. Amen. So we're excited about that. Now, you say, why did you do that? Motivation. It's like, you know, keeping that outfit that you know you don't fit into right now in the closet for motivation. It's motivation. And I without a vision, the people perish. And the worst place after a long project like this is the sigh of being done. Every time I think of that story that Brother Wells told me about the worst place after a project is a sigh, I think about the rich man that said, I've built barns, I built new ones, I'm increased, I have need of nothing. Church, right now, before we even move into our new facility, we need 5,000 square feet more than what we have. And that's just replacing what we moved out of. So we need a new building. We need another building before we even get in this one. Now we're going to shout in this one. Oh boy, we're going to shout in it. And we're going to have church in it. But the goal is to start the next one as soon as we can and rejoice in the building we have while we're building the future. And if the Lord decides to come back and we spend all the money we got, then so be it. We'll just shout in heaven. Anybody excited about that tonight? Hey, this might just be a vision casting service right now. Oh, thank the Lord for his goodness. Thank the Lord for a vision. Thank the Lord for a dream. I see cars in a parking lot. I see buses and vans and children, new converts. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Let's remain standing tonight. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3. And I asked a group of people the other night, Sunday night, were you surprised when I said, shall we stand? And they said, yes. That was about a 20-minute message. So I don't know if it was 20 minutes, but I'm trying to keep everybody happy. And it's good for me to come to church hungry. Praise God. And so, we're as fast as you respond, as fast as I'll preach. And but tonight, we're not going to go fast, but we're not going to go super slow. My wife's running the aisles right now. It's not like it's that big. I can't see what's going on in the church. I do want to say this, that we had 199 gray chairs delivered and one green one. Elder Myers got his one oversized green chair. No, all gray. Very nice. Thank you to those that went over and helped me. Of all the days, I had an electrical inspection that we passed, by the way. Thank God for that. And he called me, it's going to be 30 minutes out, and then the chairs were delivered within the hour. And as big as I am, I'm not two people. And so thank God I picked up Kondra. I didn't even ask him. I just said, hey, I'm on my way. And he was ready. But they had a pallet jack. They just had to stand there and watch. So no big deal. So we're thankful for that. And it was easy. My dad's mad that I didn't call him. It's fine. can't please everybody, you know, trying to give. It's good for young men to bear the burden in their youth. They picked up beams and carried it because they could. If I would have needed supervisors, I would have called supervisors. Praise God. I love you. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you may be rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Everybody say filled. With all fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. I want to teach tonight, preach whatever it turns into, comprehending our capacity. Comprehending our capacity. Can we lift our hands all over this house? Come on, let's magnify the name of Jesus. We love you, Savior. God, I want to be filled with all the fullness. I want to do everything you called me to do. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, clap your hands one more time just because he's good. Oh, just because he's good, we love you, Savior. Praise God. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated, that we may comprehend, that we may understand our capacity. Now, I know we normally put the title up, but can you put the building back up there? Because right now, that seems impossible. But let me tell you what was impossible just a couple years ago. Us even selling our place. I still can't believe that they paid $1 million and tore it down. Don't complain because we bought 2.5 acres and tore a barn down that, Pastor, I can't believe you tore it down. They paid $1 million for a building and put over $2 million into it. And they thought it was a good deal. But right now, this looks impossible. Now, I know to scale it's not exactly right because 80 feet on that glass building doesn't look like it compared to the 48 foot that the other one is, but the idea is there. The next, how are we going to get to the next building if we can barely afford the one we're going to move it to? Capacity. Capacity. It's got to grow. Our breadth and our depth and our height and our width, everything that we do has got to grow. The Bible says give. Now, this is not an offering. I'm not taking up an offering tonight. And I'm not speaking about money. But if it hits that money's part of this, then that's what it is. But this is not, don't get out of your mind dollar signs tonight. Because dollar signs don't equal capacity. People can give money to a church and leave it 2 weeks later. I've been handed $20,000, $14,000 checks. And within a month of them giving them to me, they've left the church. That's not capacity. Capacity is I gave it. I'm not worried about what happens with it. And I'm here for the long haul. So he said, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, wherewithal it shall be measured to you again. Your measure is not fixed. Your measure can grow. If you give a little, you receive a little. If you give much, you receive much. If you put in a little bit, you get a little bit out of it. But if you put in more, if I come to church and I'm tired and I'm weary and I don't sing and I don't pray and I don't worship, I don't get very much out of church. But if I come to church and I push through the pain and I push through the hurt and I push through my trial and I worship God, I go home full. Why? Because my measure can change. What I give is what I get out. The effort I put in is the blessing I get out of it. He that soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. Why are folks always being blessed? They've learned the idea of I get out of it what I put into it. It's not that it's easier for some people or easier for those that have been blessed. It's just they made up their mind that if I want to change my capacity, I got to do more. Oh, I know we're not saved by works, but James did say, I'll show you my convictions. I'll show you my faith by my works. I'll do what I have to do, and I'll show you how much, hey, faith coming by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And I'm going to get involved and I'm going to do my part because my capacity expands to what I put in it. Amen. Malachi 3:10. Bring ye all your tithes to the storehouse. Pastor, you're not talking about money. I understand that. But this, you can't pass up these scriptures. This is what the Lord said. See if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. I don't want the devourer to take my capacity. I don't want the devourer to take my strength. I don't want him to take my mind. I don't want him to take my ability. I don't want him to take my finances for sure, but also my strength. My job will not get more of me than God does. My trouble will not get more of me than God does. My situation will not get more of my attention than God does. Because if I want to get out of where I am, I got to do more. Amen. God increases what you're faithful with. Matthew 25:14-30 talks about the kingdom of heaven as a man traveling to a far country. He called his servants and delivered unto them his goods. Well, I got this job. Your job, my job, our finances, our homes are a gift from God. If we don't believe that, have a revelation of that, happy Atheist Day. Happy April Fool's Day. You think you did it on your own? It was God. You think you could do it without him? You're a fool. And if you can, that's still his gift. Because the breath in our body is his gift. So whatever I do, it belongs to God. Whatever I am, it belongs to God. He gave me, if I got anything good in me, God gave it to me. If I got any blessings, God gave it to me. And it's like Job said, he giveth and he taketh away whatever he wants to do. But I'll bless him anyway. I'll maintain anyway. I'm going to make sure I got enough capacity to read a double blessing. He may take everything I got, but I'm going to keep a good spirit. And I'm going to keep a good attitude. I'm going to keep my capacity right. Because God's going to overflow me with double for my trouble. You can read through. He gave it to his servants. He said it to the one that had a little. He said, the Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Verse 23, he said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. But verse number 26 tells the slothful servant, the afraid servant, the one that had no capacity, the one that hid his talent. The Lord answered unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, knewest thou that I reap where I soweth not and gather where I have not strown? Thou oughtest therefore have given money to the exchangers. Let them do the work. If you're not going to do the work, let somebody else do the work. Then I should have at least got usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it to him which hath 10 talents. For every one that hath shall be given and hath shall abundance. And from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. The servant used what he had. Well, I didn't get 10, but you got one. Whatever we get from God, no matter how small it may seem, if we use it, God will bless us. I don't see where they got monetary blessings. I don't see where they got houses and lands. He just said, I'm going to make you ruler. I'm going to increase your capacity. I could trust you with $5. I could trust you with $50. Well, I don't make enough money to pay my tithe and offerings right now, Pastor. How do you think God's going to trust you with more? I don't have time. I work too much. I'm too busy. I got too much going on. Well, how do you think God's going to be able to, if we're at capacity now, what are we going to do when the church gets 3 or 4 new families? If we can't teach Bible studies now, what are we going to do when we get 3 or 4 new families in? Well, Pastor will do it. I can't teach every Bible study. And we'll get there. I can't do every disciple. I can't. In fact, you don't want me to. I can't do it. Nobody wants me to. Because you need your capacity increased. The one who hid it lost even what he had. Capacity grows when you use what you already have. You got to make room for more spiritual enlargement. You got to say, you know what? I'm going to give another night. I'm going to sacrifice another family night to do a Bible study and watch how God blesses your time. I'm going to sacrifice another night to be faithful to the things of God and watch how God blesses your family. God actually calls people to expand their capacity. Isaiah 54:2, enlarge the place of your tent. Let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitation. Spare not. Lengthen thy cords and stretch thy stakes. What is that? That's enlarging our capacity. That's stretching. That's getting out of our comfort zone. Getting out of what we can afford. Can I just tell you tonight, whether it's 1 million or 2 million, God will give it to us one way or the other. He'll give it through jobs. He'll give it through people. Whatever it takes. Because if you stretch and you put forth and you strengthen, God will break forth on the right hand. He'll break forth on the left hand. It's going to happen. I feel capacity growing in the house tonight. I feel faith growing in the house tonight. Thou shalt break forth. Hey, you know what I heard all last week? Revival's coming. Outpouring's coming. New folks are coming. That's what's going to, when they see that building, God's going to fill it. Hey, if God don't do it, it can't be done. Increase comes from God. That's what God, I need the capacity for your increase. I need the capacity. Come on, you got to prepare for increase before it arrives. You got to expect that God is going to do more. Amen. You and I must expand and expect inwardly. How do we do that? Faith, vision, and obedience. I got to have faith. I got to have vision. I got to have obedience to the things of God. Because if I don't, I'll sit in my comfort zone until it collapses around me. I'll sit in my comfort zone until I lose my strength. And I lose my ability. Use it or lose it. God gave you a vision. Yeah, but it scares me. You better use it. You better pursue it. You better go after it. But times get hard. Things get rough. And it doesn't always work out the way I want it to. God's putting you in a place. Let me tell you something. I don't know if we're ever going to get there because we may sell the whole thing and buy something else. I don't know where God's going to take us, but I know this. We're not staying where we are. We're not doing what we've been doing. We're going to grow and we're going to have a revival one way or the other. Look at what Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 10:20. He said, my tabernacle from me. And they are not, there is none to stretch forth my tents anymore. Why? Look what it says in verse 21. For the pastures are become brutish and have not sought God. Therefore, they shall not prosper, and all their flocks shall be scattered. I refuse to let the house of the Lord lie in shambles. Didn't that what he said in Haggai? You live in your sealed houses. You're doing your thing, but my house lies in ruins. What in the world? Yeah, but the prophecy's not up yet. Yeah, I gave you goodness before the prophecy was up. It was supposed to be 70 years. But guess what? You're living in peace now. Didn't Nehemiah go and build a wall when he was still a slave? Didn't Nehemiah go and say, you know what? We're going to do something about this situation. And he went to the king, and the king said, whatever you need, take it. Let me tell you something. I'm not waiting till everything is perfect. I'm not waiting till everything is right. I'm not waiting for promotions and jobs and raises. Do I live in the right city? Or do I have the right house? No, I'm going to tell you, I want to get there, but my capacity has got to grow inside of me in faith and vision and obedience before the outward increase comes. I've got to expand on the inside before the out. Our heart determines our capacity. Our heart determines our capacity. Jesus taught that increase is tied to how we hear and how we respond. Brother Booker always says, now the most important part of the service, that's the altar call. The second most important part of the service is the preaching of the word. The most important part of the service is the altar call, the response. But can I tell you, there's also another response. How we live what we heard in church outside these walls. How we respond in action. The Bible said there is nothing hid. Jesus said this. There's nothing hid which shall not be made manifest, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man hath ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, it shall to him shall be given. And he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. How we respond to the draw of the word of God. We may look at our future and say, man, pastor, a $2,800 a month mortgage was a whole lot easier on us. I understand that. But that doesn't save a city, because it's easy on us. That doesn't reach a city because we found a comfortable place. I just heard this during men's conference. It blew. Actually, it wasn't during men's conference. It was. I told it during men's conference, but it was on Kingdom Speak. Brother Brad Lambeth was at a meeting years ago. The man was about 55, he said, and he walked in to a church. He said it was packed. The choir was singing. The platform was packed. The church was packed. They had buses and vans. They had all the stuff. It was packed. And he said, man, you're about ready to have to build a new building. And the guy goes, no. Not going to happen. He said, I got a good income. I got a choir. I got a church. That church, give me that mindset, because I want more people. I thank God for the ones we have. We need them. But they're lost, and they're dying without God. And if we outgrow this property, we're going to look for another one. And it wouldn't hurt my feelings to buy 10 acres and do branch works. Whatever it takes, I want to see revival. It doesn't scare me. My heart needs to be open. I want to receive. I want to be receptive and obedient and get greater capacity. If I'm closed-minded and lack passion, I limit God's capacity. I want my capacity to be increased.
I was telling our banker last night, now there's times when you, pastor, you're just rambling, you're just talking. Well, maybe. But I would just let her know my heritage, my vision. I showed her this picture. I said the church that I come from is on just under 3 acres, 2.97 acres. Church that I grew up in, that's where it is. It's got a a 400-seat chapel we call the prayer room. It's got a K-12 school classrooms and all of that. It's got the first church on the property, which now is the social hall with a kitchen. The old baptismal room is now the snack shack. It's got a caretaker's apartment. It's got its own printing press location. It's got a mechanic shop. Got full-time mechanics that work on the church buses and vans. And the main auditorium that was built in 1980 seats 1,100 people. Been there ever since I can remember. That church was built in 1980, so it's been there a long time. Well, haven't you outgrown it? Yes. We probably could have outgrown that building 4 or 5 times. But instead, what he did is he went across town and paid cash for an old church and fixed it up. Put a young man and his wife in that church and gave him some help. You do Bible studies during the week and you have church on Sunday morning and come back to the main church on Sunday night. They did that 6 or 7 times. Now they got branch works all over town. Yeah. Fresno's about the same size as the Treasure Valley as far as the Idaho side of the Treasure Valley. There's 9 branch works. There's 2 other churches in the area that are men out of our churches. Can I tell you something, church? Everything is paid for. Not only the churches, not only the buildings, but the buses, the vans, the 6 houses that they own in the town. You say, that's a long time. I'm going to tell you something. It is a long time, but that's the vision. That's the capacity. Because when Brother Morton kicked open that door 40 years ago and said, there's going to be a church on that grass, they were in a small building. Nobody thought it was going to happen. And they've outgrown their, my God, now the whole church is looking for a new property. And how do we grow and how do we expand? Why? Because capacity. God will fill what you give him. God will fill what's available, not what's possible. God, with God, nothing is impossible, but God will fill what's available. You know what I see? I see available seats. I see available chairs. God will fill them. We just unloaded 200 chairs this morning, and we got about 60 on the roll, but God will fill what's available. God will fill its capacity. Why do we do all this? It's capacity. It's capacity. I want to understand my capacity. Oh, I feel revival on a Wednesday night. I feel an outpouring of the Holy Ghost on a Wednesday night. Not what's impossible. Not what is possible. 2 Kings 4. A woman went to the prophet and said, I got nothing. And they're going to take my sons. He said, what do you have? She said, I have a save. I got nothing in the house. Well, Pastor, why do you push for good church? Because if we have nothing in the house but anointing, that's all we need. We may not have talent. In fact, someone just asked me to come preach for him. I said, why would you want that? I'm not even a very good preacher. He said, that doesn't matter. He didn't even correct it. You want to hear the crazy part about who invited me to come preach for him? It's our neighboring pastor right here on the boulevard. And God told me, and I'm not saying, hey, I don't just say God told me very, very lightly. But I felt very impressed to go preach for him. I felt, in fact, before he asked me, I thought I'm just going to show up on a Sunday morning some Sunday and see what happens, see what God will do. That night he walked up to me and said, hey, would you come preach for us? I don't know what's going to happen with all that. But I know this. If we're going to have our capacity increased, why you want good church? Because if all it comes down to is a little oil in the house, and it's the anointing that destroys the yoke, that's what I want. It may not be my preaching. It may not be our singing. It may not be our talent. But if we could have anointing, if people want to come here because of what they feel, can I just tell you what happened on Sunday? Tim and Tonya and her mother have been coming on Sunday morning They didn't go there to visit. They didn't go there to make it their church. They went there because their daughter-in-law was getting baptized. On Sunday morning, they went to Rock Harbor. If you don't know where Rock Harbor is, it's on Shinden. It's massive. But the pastor was preaching remotely. I don't even know where he was. He said it was on the screen, and he wasn't even there. He said there was over 1,500 people there. He said they baptized her. He goes, I felt nothing. He walked up to Carson and said, hey, Carson, just want to tell you, your little band up there, way better than anything Rock Harbor had going on. You know why? It wasn't talent. And I'm not saying we're not talented. It wasn't talent. It was anointing. We got nothing in the house. We're in a borrowed building. We're in a mess, but we got a small cruise of oil. And if we got that, that's what you need. That's what, you know what you don't? You don't need more oil. You need more vessels. We got enough Holy Ghost to save Nampa. We just need, we got enough Holy Ghost to reach this city. We just need more vessels. He said, go out and get them. Empty ones, messed up ones. Get them and bring them in. Borrow not a few. You keep pouring out until you, my God. Oh, come on, church. It's outreach. It's revival. It's evangelism. It's not because we don't have anything. We got what they need. We got what. Stand to our feet tonight. Just stand to our feet. I'm coming to a close. The oil flowed until there were no more vessels. The oil flowed until they ran out of capacity. We bought everything. And once every empty vessel in that city was filled, the oil stayed. And this is what he said. You sell that, you pay your debt, and you you live of the rest. You know what capacity does? Capacity gives you the ability to bless and live off the overflow. I got no strength. How am I got this much energy? Because capacity gives you the ability to work a job and go out and do Bible studies and go home and feel good and have rest. Capacity gives you the ability to come to church even after a long day of work or my God, capacity. The limitation was not God. The limitation were the number of vessels. The limitation was not God. The limitation was the number of people. Pastor, I'm built different. I can't do it. I can't. Can I just say this tonight? We just spent about 2 weeks. It just worked out this way. Brother and Sister Tingley from Moses Lake, Washington, happens to be family. Got in contact with them since we moved up here. It's crazy, but it's great. And he came to men's conference. His wife came. My wife and Sister Tingley got to hang out that weekend together. Great. And then we went, literally, that was on Saturday. The next Tuesday, we ended up in Spokane. They were there. We spent most of the time with them, going out to lunch with them on the day services and then after service at the hospitality. And she was telling my wife, now they're older than us. They got a really small church in Moses Lake. And he works, and she works. They got a 30 by 50 building. It's 1,500 square feet. So, oh well, you know they're just poor little. I'll just tell you who they are. Their daughter is Brittany Scott. Y'all know Brittany Scott, the singer. She goes everywhere, sings. That's their daughter. They got talent. They got ability. They're connected. But this is what she told my wife. Sister Tingley told my wife, I gotta be at work at 3 o'clock in the morning. We got church on Wednesday night. I got to be at work at 3 o'clock in the morning. She works in the bakery at the grocery store. Hey, what do you do? What do you do? If we're at capacity, if she was at capacity, what do you do? We got men to get up and go early. We got ladies to get up and go early. They got jobs. I understand all that. God understands all that. I don't know how it all is supposed to work out, but I know this. He told Peter, he said, thrust out a little from shore. And he preached to the multitude. And then after he got done, hey, see, that wasn't that bad. Now launch into the deep and get ready for a drop. Get ready for an outpouring. Get ready for a revival. That's the way he started Peter's ministry. And that's the way he got Peter back. Capacity. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You look it up. If you don't believe me, look it up. The word strength means capacity or ability. If you wait on God, yes, it means force, and yes, it means all of that, but it also means a capacity and ability. If you will serve, he'll give you capacity. He'll give you the means. He'll give you the produce. He'll give you the ability. He'll give you the fruits. He'll give you the power. He'll give you the strength. He'll give you the substance. He'll give you the wealth. If you'll just do what God said do. And I'm done. I'm closing with this. The Bible said, for we would not, brethren, have you be ignorant of our trouble which came upon us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure and above strength, in so much we feared for our lives. We were so stressed. We were so pressed. We were so... But all of Asia heard the word. We were pressed. We were stretched. I wonder, could we stretch ourselves a little further? Can we press a little further? Can we reach a little further? Leaders are not born, they are created through daily decisions and daily choices. All events on the church, many different circumstances and situations, they all need my attention. It's minimal, my thoughts. I've got to pray, I've got to fast, but I'm not just building a church, I'm building a building. I'm not just building a building, but I'm building men and women. The man must match the church. The man. Come on, you know why churches grow? Because the people match the vision. You know why churches grow? Because the people match the vision. The pastor matches the church. And the church matches the pastor. And they match the vision. Can we comprehend? Don't worry about 100 if you can't do 50. Don't worry about 5 Bible studies if you can't do 1. You got to match. Do we comprehend? What is the breadth and length and depth and height? Beyond measure, beyond our capacity, let it increase. Come on, we're doing good, but can we stretch a little more? We're doing good, but our vision is bigger than what we can do right now. I would submit to you tonight, we're not waiting on God. God is waiting on us to expand. There's no telling what this thing turns into. There's no telling what your job, what your career turns into when you give it and stress yourself even further than you think you can. My God, my God, my God. Come on, we haven't even touched our capacity yet. We haven't even tapped into what God... A And guess what? God's going to bring more people, more families, more souls, more people to do outreach. Come on, are you willing? Are you willing to let your capacity be tested? Are you willing to allow God to stretch you? Come on, there's young Marys in this house tonight that 10 years ago were young people. They didn't even have a clue, but God opened doors, and now they're pillars in a church. It's capacity. Come on, there's teenagers in the house tonight that were just children 10 years ago, and now they're young people working jobs and supporting the things of God, doing the will of God. If we cannot handle the stretching of this next step, and I believe we're able to, but if we cannot, how can we even hope for more? If we cannot handle the stretching, these are tests of our capacity. Daniel performed under the test. Saul failed under the test. There are things already right now that I am planning as soon as this project is over. Yes, we're thinking about the next building, but there are things that I want to do personally. For me, classes, things I want to take, things I want to do to increase my capacity. If I want to be able to handle 100 people in the church, I want my capacity for the counseling and the things that are coming up. I want that to grow. I got the Holy Ghost and I know Acts 2:38. It doesn't work all that way. In Acts 2:38 still works, but you got to have some other stuff. And there's men that are out there that have grown. And I'm not against, I'm not saying everybody's got to go get an education or degree, but I'm not against learning more and growing. But this is what he said. If you cannot handle the stretching of 50, you'll never even come close to 100. Comprehend beyond measure, above strength, uncomfortable, growing pains, our capacity increasing. Our capacity must be tested. Yes. Have you heard anybody say, I just don't have the mental capacity to deal with this right now? What they're saying is, I'm tapped out. No, what you're saying is you took on too much and you haven't focused right the things of God. Because hey, you know what a privilege, you know what pressure is? A privilege. If no one needs you, if no one's counting on you, what is it? You know one of the benefits of working every night from 5 till 9 every night at the church and from 9 till 5 on Saturdays is that doing 1 2-hour Bible study a week is going to seem easy. Yeah. Having Monday night prayer, having Wednesday night church and a Bible study, no problem. At least it better not be a problem. Because if we're going to move into this building and not do Bible studies, I know I said I'm done, but it's 43 minutes. Just give me a second. Deuteronomy 1:9, I spake unto you at the time, saying, I am not able to bear you myself alone. The Lord hath multiplied you, and behold, you are this day as the stars of heaven for multitude. How can I myself alone bear your cumbrances, your burdens, and your strifes? Take you wise men, understanding and known among your tribe, and I will make them rulers over you. And he answered me, said, these things which you have spoken is good to us to do. So I took chief of your tribes, wise men and known, proven men, increase, revival, and grow a church. I don't know about that. Well, let's look at the book of Acts chapter 6. Look out among you 7 men of good report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, who we appoint over this business. And look what happened. And the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. When the church finds its capacity, the church grows. When people quit... Can I just say this tonight? Leave your trouble in yesterday's day. In yesterday's chapter. Don't bring them into this chapter. Don't bring them into your new problem. Don't bring them in because that was yesterday's problem. Grow from it. Increase from it. Because when we get a church that understands their capacity and how church growth comes, that's not big enough. Can I just show you? This building right here is going to see 200. That in the middle is going to be fellowship, and we're going to use it for overflow. But that building over on the end, it may seat 500. Yeah. We're going to run out of parking spaces before we run out of room in a building. Yeah. My vision for if the Lord tarries. We've been talking about Lakeview Bible Church, where the boys got married. You know what? That only seats 475. If God can do it in Spokane, if God can do it in Fresno, if God can do it in San Jose, if God can do it all over the country, he can do it right here in this Treasure Valley. He can do it with us. Come on, somebody. Recognize your capacity. Understand that God can do it through you. Yes, you. Not somebody else, not the next person, but you. God can bless you with ability. God can bless you with talent. If you use what you got, he'll give you more. Oh, let's lift our hands all over the house tonight. Come on, in the name of Jesus. Come on, in the name of Jesus. Come on, in the name of Jesus. Come on, we need piano players.
We need drummers. We need bass players. We need guitar players. We need singers. I don't care how young you are. If you got talent ability, we're going to put you in the platform. If you got the Holy Ghost, we're going to use you. Come on. Come on, Jesus was 33 years old when he laid down his life. He was a young man. God can use you. Come on, these jobs, these promotions, these raises, these business opportunities. That's capacity growing. You prove to God he can trust you. You prove to God he can bless you. I just feel like something good's about to happen. I just feel like something good is about to happen. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in this house tonight. In the name of Jesus. Come on, young people, you got more capacity. God is going to do great things through you. Come on, young marriage. Come on, mamas and daddies. Come on, senior saints. God's got use for you. God by your bless our singers, bless our musicians, bless our business owners, bless our jobs, bless God, all of what we do. Bless our Bible studies, bless our outreach efforts. Let's lift our hands all over this house. Come on, God. God is working in our hearts right now. God is giving increase right now. God is expanding, pushing us out of comfort zones right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Church, we're living in the end times. I don't know how long it's going to be before he comes back. But I know we're living in the end times. Let's just plot all the stops until he comes back. Let's just have revival until Jesus comes back. Let's just do everything we can do to help this church and save our city. That's what it's all about. You know what that is? That's souls. That represents souls that are going to be saved in this city. That's what all this is about, is reaching the lost. It's going to be uncomfortable, but that's all right. That's how we grow. That is how we grow. I believe tonight is a catalyst for the rest of this church's journey. We're going to go into that place in revival, not looking for revival. We could have growth in the next 2 months in this building right here. We could have increase in the next couple months in this building. Praise God. Amen, amen. We're going to be working this Thursday, Friday, Saturday. It's going to be a great time seeing all the progress. We got inspections coming up for HVAC and for framing, and we're going to start doing drywall and insulation. It's going to make it a major change, and so excited about that. If you want to go on Sunday, 10 o'clock at the new building, looking forward to a great time in prayer and praise and thanking God for it. We missed Easter, but we're praying for Pentecost Sunday. If we don't make that one, then we'll just have to make every Sunday Pentecost Sunday. Praise God. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for your response tonight. What a phenomenal service we had in Jesus. Now let's just give God praise tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness, for your grace, for what we feel in this house, for the hearts that responded, to the minds that responded. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.